Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great. Book 3, Chapter 23. How Sowers of Strife and Peacemakers are to be admonished. Differently to be admonished are sowers of strife and peacemakers. For troublemakers are to be admonished to perceive whose followers they are. For of the apostate angel it is written, when tares had been sown among the good crop, an enemy has done this. Of a member of him, it is also said through Solomon, an apostate person, an unprofitable man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he beats with his foot, he speaks with his finger. With froward heart, he devises mischief continually. He sows strife. Lo! Him whom he would speak of as a sower of strife, he first named an apostate, since, unless after the manner of the proud angel, he first fell away inwardly by an alienation of his mind from the face of his Maker, he would not afterwards come to sow strife outwardly. He is rightly described, too, as winking with his eyes, speaking with his finger, beating with his foot. For it is inward watch that keeps the members outwardly in orderly control. He then who has lost stability of mind falls off outwardly into inconstancy of movement, and by his exterior mobility shows that he is stayed on no root within. Let sowers of strife hear what is written. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And on the other hand, let them gather that if they who make peace are called the children of God, without doubt those who confound it are the children of Satan. Moreover, all who are separated by discord from the greenness of loving kindness are dried up, and though they bring forth in their actions fruits of good deeds, yet there are in truth no fruits, since they do not spring from the oneness of charity. Hence, therefore, let sowers of strife consider how manifoldly they sin, in that while they perpetrate one iniquity, they eradicate at the same time all virtue from human hearts. For in one evil they work innumerable evils, since in sowing discord they extinguish charity, which is in truth the mother of virtues. But since nothing is more precious with God than the virtue of loving kindness, nothing is more acceptable to the devil than the extinction of charity. Whosoever, then, by sowing of strife, destroys the loving kindness of neighbors, serves God's enemy as his familiar friend, because by taking away from them this, by the loss of which he fell, they have cut off from them the road whereby to rise. But on the other hand, the peacemakers are to be admonished that they do not detract from the efficacy of so great an undertaking, through not knowing between whom they ought to establish peace. For as there is much harm if unity be wanting to the good, there is exceeding harm if it is not wanting to the bad. If, then, the iniquity of the perverse is united in peace, assuredly there is an accession of strength to their evil doings, since the more they agree among themselves in wickedness, by so much the more stoutly do they dash themselves against the good to afflict them. For hence is it said that against the preachers of that vessel of damnation, that is, Antichrist, is it said by the divine voice to the blessed Job, the members of his flesh stick close to each other. Hence, under the figure of scales, it is said of his satellites, one is joined to another, and not even a breathing hole comes between them. For indeed his followers, from being divided by no opposition of discord among themselves, are by so much the more strongly banded together in the slaughter of the good. He then who associates the iniquitous together in peace supplies strength to iniquity, since they worse press down the good whom they persecute unanimously. Whence the excellent preacher, being overtaken by violent persecution from Pharisees and Sadducees, endeavored to divide among themselves those whom he saw to be violently united against himself. When he cried out, saying, "Men, brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And whereas the Sadducees denied the hope and resurrection of the dead, which the Pharisees, in accordance with the precepts of Holy Writ, believed, a dissension was caused in the unanimity of the persecutors, and Paul escaped unhurt from the divided crowd, which before, when united, had savagely assailed him. Those, therefore, who are occupied with the desire of making peace, are to be admonished that they ought first to infuse a love of internal peace into the minds of the froward, to the end that external peace may afterwards avail to do them good, so that while their heart is hanging on cognition of the latter, of the former, they will be by no means hurried into wickedness from perception of the latter. And while they see before them that which is supernal, they in no way turn that towards that which is earthly to serve to their own detriment. But if any perverse persons are such that they could not harm the good, even though they lusted to do so, between them indeed earthly peace ought to be established, even before they have risen to the knowledge of supernal peace, even so that they, whom the wickedness of their impiety exasperates against the loving-kindness of God, may at any rate be softened out of love of their neighbor, and, as it were from a neighboring position, may pass to a better one, and so rise to what is as yet far from them, the peace of their Maker. Chapter 24. How the rude in sacred learning, and those who are learned but not humble, are to be admonished. Differently to be admonished are those who do not understand rightly the words of the sacred law, and those who understand them indeed rightly, but speak them not humbly. For those who understand not rightly the words of sacred law are to be admonished to consider that they turn for themselves a most wholesome draught of wine into a cup of poison, and with a medicinal knife inflict on themselves a mortal wound, when they destroy in themselves what was sound by that by which they ought, to their health, have cut away what was diseased. They are to be admonished to consider that Holy Scripture is set as a kind of lantern for us in the night of the present life, the words whereof, when they understand not rightly, from light they get darkness. But in truth, a perverse bent of mind would not hurry them to understand it wrongly, did not pride first puff them up. For while they think themselves wise beyond all others, they scorn to follow others to things better understood. And in order to extort for themselves from the unskillful multitude a name for knowledge, they strive mightily both to upset the right views of others and to confirm their own perverse views. Hence it is well said by the prophet, "They have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their borders." For Gilead is by interpretation a heap of witness. And since the whole congregation of the church together serves by its confession as a witness to the truth, not unfitly by Gilead is expressed the church, which witnesses by the mouth of all the faithful whatever is true concerning God. Moreover, souls are called with child when of divine love they conceive an understanding of the word, so that if they come to their full time, they may bring forth their conceived intelligence in the showing forth of work. Further, to enlarge their border is to extend abroad the fame of their reputation. They have therefore ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. Because heretics assuredly slay by their perverse preaching the souls of the faithful, who had already conceived something of the understanding of the truth, and they extend for themselves a name for knowledge. The hearts of little ones, already big with conception of the word, they cleave with the sword of error, and, as it were, make for themselves a reputation as teachers. When, therefore, we endeavor to instruct these not to think perversely, it is necessary that we first admonish them to shun vainglory. For if the root of pride is cut off, the branches of wrong assertion are consequently dried up. They are also to be admonished to take heed, lest by engendering errors and discords, they turn into a sacrifice to Satan that very same law of God which has been given for hindering sacrifices to Satan. Whence the Lord complains through the prophet, saying, I gave them corn, wine, and oil, and I multiplied to them silver and gold, which they sacrificed to Baal. For indeed we receive corn from the Lord, when, in the more obscure sayings, the husk of the latter being drawn off, we perceive in the marrow of the spirit the inward meaning of the law. The Lord proffers us his wine when he inebriates us with the lofty preaching of his scripture. His oil also he gives us when by plainer precepts he orders our life gently and smoothly. He multiplies silver when he supplies to us eloquent utterances full of the light of truth. With gold also he enriches us when he irradiates our heart with an understanding of the supreme splendor. All of which things heretics offer to Baal, because they pervert them in the hearts of their hearers by a corrupt understanding of them all. And of the corn of God, of his wine and oil, and likewise of his silver and gold, they offer a sacrifice to Satan, because they turn aside the words of peace to promote the error of discord. Wherefore they are to be admonished to consider that when of their perverse mind they make discord out of the precepts of peace, they themselves, in the just judgment of God, die from the words of life. But on the other hand, those who do indeed understand rightly the words of the law, but do not speak them humbly, are to be admonished that in divine discourses, before they put them forth to others, they should examine themselves, lest in following up the deeds of others they leave themselves behind, and lest, while thinking rightly of all the rest of Holy Scripture, this one thing they do not attend to, what is said in it against the proud. For he is indeed a poor and unskillful physician, who would fain heal another's disease, while ignorant of that from which he himself is suffering. Those, then, who do not speak the words of God humbly, should certainly be admonished, that when they apply medicines to the sick, they see to the poison of their own infection, lest in healing others they die themselves. They ought to be admonished to take heed, lest their manner of saying things be at variance with the excellence of what is said, and lest they preach one thing in their speaking and another in their outward bearing. Let them hear, therefore, what is written. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If then the words they utter are not of the things that are their own, why are they puffed up on account of them as though they were their own? Let them hear what is written. As of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. For he speaks of God in the sight of God, who both understands that he has received the word of preaching from God, and also seeks through it to please God and not men. Let them hear what is written. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. For surely, when in the word of God he seeks his own glory, he invades the right of the giver, and he does not fear at all to postpone to his own praise him from whom he has received the very thing that is praised. Let them hear what is said to the preacher through Solomon. Drink water out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and divide your waters in the streets. Have them to yourself alone, and do not let strangers be partakers with you. For indeed, the preacher drinks out of his own cistern, when, returning to his own heart, he first listens himself to what he has to say. He drinks the running waters of his own well, if he is watered by his own word. And in the same place it is well added, Let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and divide your waters in the streets. For indeed it is right that he should himself drink first, and then flow upon others in preaching. For to disperse fountains abroad is to pour outwardly on others the power of preaching. Moreover, to divide waters in the streets is to dispense divine utterances among a great multitude of hearers, according to the quality of each. And because, for the most part, the desire of vainglory creeps in when the word of God has free course unto the knowledge of many, after it has been said, Divide your waters in the streets, it is rightly added, Have them to yourself alone, and do not let strangers be partakers with you. He here calls malignant spirits strangers, concerning whom it is said through the prophet, in the words of one that is tempted, Strangers are risen up against me, and strong ones have sought after my soul. He says, therefore, both divide thy waters in the streets, and yet have them to yourself alone. As if he had said more plainly, It is necessary for you so to serve outwardly in preaching, so as not to join yourself through elation to unclean spirits, lest in the ministry of the divine word you admit your enemies to be partakers with you. Thus we divide our waters in the streets, and yet alone possess them. When we both pour out preaching outwardly far and wide, and yet in no way court human praises through it. End of chapter 24.